Thank you. I think the children are going to leave us now. I just want us to just take a moment to allow God to speak to our hearts. It's really important that we take every opportunity to allow God to minister to us. And my challenge this morning is, have you had an encounter with God this morning? Because he wants to have one with you. That's his heart, is to always have an encounter with you, to speak to you, to encourage you, challenge you, bring peace into your heart, maybe fill your life with the fullness of what he's got for you. In this world, in this Western world that we live, we are very self-reliant, and sometimes we're not desperate enough for God to move. Our heart's desire isn't for him to move because we're quite comfortable. And the moment you move from this place to a place of terror or pain or starvation, the only hope they have is God. They're desperate for God to move. And that's why very often we see revivals of God's Spirit in places where they're desperate for God. And sometimes we're not desperate enough to have an encounter with him. We're not desperate enough to ask him. We're not desperate enough to be obedient to him, for him to work in our lives to the fullness of which he wants to do. We sang that song this morning, didn't we? I can never remember the words of songs, unless they're really old ones. I can remember the hymns. But it talks about being brought out of our grave. We're brought out of our grave. We were dead, but now we are alive in him. And it just thought crashed into my mind that some of us get back in there. We crawl back into the grave because it's what we're comfortable with. It's what we know. We feel safe there, but we're dead. And Jesus calls us out of the grave. That's what he wants to do. He calls us out of the grave. He wants to fill our lives with his fullness, with his peace, his joy, his purpose, his forgiveness, his faithfulness. He wants to fill our lives with all of that. And so if you've crawled into the grave this morning and you're feeling dead, then you're in the right place, because Jesus brings us alive. And for some of us, we've never actually asked him into our heart and into our lives for the first time. We've never been brought alive. But for some of us, the challenge is to continue working with God and allowing him to keep us in that place where he is constantly ministering to us, where we have the fullness of his life. Have an encounter with God this morning. Allow him into your heart. Don't sit there and switch off. So easy to do. It's nice and warm in here, apart from if you sat next to Linda at the back. It's nice and warm here, Linda. Do you want to come and stand next to me? It's lovely and warm and peaceful, and we've got the presence of God, and it's so easy just to drift. My job is to take Scripture and make it understandable to each of us, to bring something of the truth of who God is to our lives so that we can live it. And our focus at the moment is about living it. It's about taking what God has given us and living in it, and being his witnesses, because we are so close to God, he kind of just pours out of us. Everywhere we go, he's overflowing our lives and touching the lives of those around us. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning. We are Pentecostal here. We believe in the works of the Holy Spirit. We believe that he lives in us and that he empowers us to be his witnesses. And for many of us, maybe we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. We need to allow him to break into our hearts once again. It's quite simple, really. He says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you ask for the right things, you'll receive. And so this morning, we're asking for an encounter with God. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to minister to us. We're asking for all of that he has for us this morning to be received in our hearts. So I'm talking about becoming witnesses, looking at the gift of salvation, and reminding ourselves of its significance to each of us and to the world that we live in. And I say this every week, but this world needs something. This world needs something that is alternative to what we're living in, because it's slowly, well, it's not slowly, it's very quickly declining in every way. And we want the world to see that God makes a difference. And so as a church, our heart is to influence our community, is to bear witness of God working in us so that we can bring hope to those that have no hope. So I'm going to just skip through some of the things that I've already said in the last few weeks, because not everybody's here all of the time and I don't want you to miss out. One of the challenges of watching the television, and I'm sure we all do that, is whenever I watch anything with Linda, she has to watch the catch-up. You know, we always get a catch-up right at the start. Like we all can't remember what we've just watched 10 minutes ago. It drives me nuts. It tells us what we've seen. It tells us what we've just watched, and then it tells us what we're going to see, just in case we forget what we're going to see as well. I'm going to remind you lot of everything I've said. It really does, I skip through the lot of it. But Linda can't remember anything. So she needs to watch it. And I remember. So I want to remind you this morning of the gift of salvation, because it is immense. It is immense. And very often we live with it in our back pocket and we forget the greatness of the gift that God has given to us. And God wants us to live in this salvation. He wants us to display it to those around us, because it's a testimony to those who are just sharing life with us about who God is. So we talked about our need for salvation. So many people will say, the Christians, that they have been christened, that they go to church or whatever. But we've got to recognize our need of salvation. That moment when God just opens our heart to who he is, and we have to take that step of faith and put our trust in him to forgive us and to begin to love us. It's a step of faith. And everything that we do as a believer is a step of faith. We don't do anything in our own strength. It's faith. We're putting our faith in him. One of the mantras, if you like, one of the truths of freedom in Christ is that if the Bible is true, which we believe it is, then we've got to trust it. We've got to believe it. We've got to put our faith in all that God is. Because otherwise, it's just an intellectual kind of faith. It's not affecting who we are. So we need God in our lives. The gift of forgiveness and a restored relationship with God. We become the children of the living God. And that means we're entitled to some stuff. We're entitled to all that he promises in his word. And we're entitled to all that he promises for our eternal life. It's an amazing gift. Once we begin to put our trust and our faith in him, he's with us every moment of the day. He gives us what we need for life and godliness. He's there through the hard times. He stands with us. He's there through the good times, although sometimes we do forget that. But he's there with us, rejoicing when good times come our way. But God is always with us. And he wants us to live in this gift. He wants us to live in the fullness and the freedom and the joy and the peace of all that he has for us. It says in the word, doesn't it, that we are a new creation. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, I wish I was a new creation. I wish God would do something. But anyway, we're all getting older together. But we are a new creation spiritually. We are born again and we are a new creation. And God is working in us. He's transforming us. He's maturing us. He's growing us. He wants us to bear fruit in our lives. He wants us to live in this amazing gift of salvation. And then it says, his love is poured into our heart. That the love of God is the thing that really sustains us. That when we begin to understand his love, that we can trust in it, that he accepts us as we are. And even as believers, we do get things wrong. We are not perfect. I am not. And we've got to know that even when we get it wrong, God loves us. He absolutely loves us. He never lets us go. The enemy will tell you something different, but the truth of the word is that he loves us unconditionally, no matter what. And if you're here this morning believing that God can't love you, it's a lie, because he does. And when we're living in this love that he has poured into our hearts, we love him. And when we love God with all that we are, when we allow ourselves to love him, then it says that we can love others as ourselves. We can be witnesses because we have a compassion for other people. Our heart's desire is to see others brought into this place where they can receive this amazing gift. So I want to talk this morning about how we become witnesses then. How do we become those people, those people who've got something to give to others? And you have. Everywhere you go, you've got something to give to those who you share life with. See, a witness is somebody who's experienced something or seen something and can verbalize it or live it. In any investigation, and I used to investigate things in my previous employment, all the time you're trying to find someone who can bear witness of an act. Because without witnesses, without somebody providing what the truth is, there is no case. And so the world needs to see the witness of the Church of Jesus Christ in all that God is and all that he does and the love he has for us. Otherwise, there's no case. So we have a huge responsibility to bear witness to God in the way that we live. We've been tasked with being Christ's witnesses. And by the way we live in his forgiveness, we live in his freedom, in his fullness. We live by his values. We live an alternative culture. By the way that we live, we will be witnesses to those around us. We'll become contagious as we stay connected to the vine. As the life of Christ pours into us, as we allow him to live in us, he fills us, and it says he overflows us. And it's out of our overflow that people begin to see who Christ is within us. Jesus said the following in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's how important the Holy Spirit is to us. That when he comes upon us, when he fills us, that we become powerful witnesses to those around us. And we've often said that to live the life of a Christian in our own strength is impossible. As we read through the Old Testament, we see the struggle that the Jews had trying to sustain their relationship with God and to be constantly under pressure to fulfill the requirements of the law. When Jesus came, it was a new covenant. He said, my yoke is light. When you are connected to me, all those requirements are no longer required because I have fulfilled all of those. Put your faith in me. It fulfills everything. So to enable us to live an empowering Christian life, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, who fulfills a number of roles in us, one of which is to fill us with the power to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all I can do that without the Holy Spirit. When we start doing things on our own, it doesn't bear fruit. As we're reminded in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can't achieve anything. Without me, you are powerless to live this life. You are powerless to bear fruit. You are powerless to witness. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in the early church, we see the transformation of Peter once he received the Holy Spirit. We see that before Christ died, as he was arrested and he was going to trial, Peter was challenged three times. You follow him, don't you? You're a believer in Christ. We've seen you around him. No, you haven't. I don't know who this man is. I've got no association with him. And three times he denied knowing Jesus. But after the day of Pentecost, we see the boldness of Peter once he had been filled with the Holy Spirit and he preached about the death and resurrection of Christ, and thousands were added to the church and continued to be added for a number of years. The key to being witnesses is to be full of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be bold. So often we look at ourselves and we think that we're incapable. We think that we're not qualified. We think we are weak. We think we have no voice to speak to those around us, which is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, to give us a boldness, to make us powerful in the way that we live and the words that we use. See, if we're filled with God's love, it enables us to love others. It enables us to see where they are in life. It enables us to see their need of God working in them. It gives us God's perspective on how he loved the world, and his love should motivate us to love the world and be his witnesses. We can be in situations where we look around, and I've said this before, we think, well, everybody seems to be okay here. They don't really need God. Well, they do. They do need God. Certainly, on an eternal perspective, they need to know who God is. But they need God. And sometimes, do you ever meet anybody nasty? You go, I'm not telling them about Jesus. They don't deserve it. I'm not telling them about all that God's got for them. I don't like them. They're not very nice. But when we're full of the Holy Spirit, we have compassion and we can love those around us. Some of them are unlovely. God loves them and we should too. See, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means that we have been reconciled to God. The pathway to God has been opened for us. And we've got to make a pathway for those around us. We've got to be ministers of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. There's a call from Paul there to remain in God's reconciliation, to remain in this relationship with him, because we have been tasked with the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be his witnesses everywhere we go. And to be effective witnesses, we've got to be motivated by God's love and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and understand that we have a role to reconcile others to Christ. Becoming a Christian is more than just becoming a Christian. It's more than just going, I want you in my life. It's actually taking on the call of Christ on our lives, the call to live as a Christian, the call to be a witness of all that he is and all that he's done. And sometimes that can be difficult, because we can get into situations where it's easy just to go, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about that. I don't go to church. I don't believe any of that stuff. It's sometimes we can be in situations where that's the easiest thing to say. But to stand and say, yeah, this is what I believe, sometimes needs boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit, because very often we are weak. We've got to make the most of every opportunity to be intentional about the way that we live. You know, when you bring intentionality into your life, it's amazing what transformations it brings. When you have an intention to do something, usually it gets done. I don't know whether you were ever any good at doing homework, or whether you are over there. You good at doing homework? We always intend to do it, don't we? We don't really. It's a tomorrow. In our house, with our three that we brought up, it was always, I'll do it tomorrow. I'm busy at the moment, I'll do it tomorrow. And we can be like that with various areas of our life. We can have a kind of, yeah, I'll get it done. But the moment we get intentionality into our hearts and into our minds, things begin to happen. There's someone in my house who will say to me, I've been thinking, and we need to get this done. I've been thinking, what have you been thinking about now? Always thinking about something. I think we should decorate the front room. Oh, yeah, it's a great thought, that. But the intentionality means that it gets done. We live in different places, me and Linda, in terms of our thinking. And when she says, I've been thinking, I usually leave the room. I've been thinking. But it gets things done. And in our Christian life, we have to have an intentionality about the way that we live it, and the way that we bear witness to Christ in the way that we live. And when we are intentional, when we are aware that we are to be his witnesses, it's amazing how many opportunities actually arise, because your thinking is different. Your conversation is different. Your behavior is different, because we are trying to demonstrate God in who we are. The early church grew expansively through this method of witnessing. There was almost too many coming to the church to be able to manage it. There were hundreds being added daily. Why? Because those that were converted, those that came to Christ, bore witness in their life, and it spread throughout the community like a wildfire. It was, just read the early church, it's amazing. And there was a sense of awe that came over the whole community because of what God was doing. And I believe that we have it in us, as small a church as we are, for something to happen in us that causes awe to happen in our community, that causes people to know that when they walk through those doors, that they're going to have an encounter with God. That when they're talking to us, they're going to have an encounter with God. That when they spend time with us, they're going to see something of God. We've got to have an intentionality about the way that we live. We've got to be authentic in the way that we carry our message. So we use actions, thoughts. We do use words. I know very often we say that we can witness without saying something, and we can. But at some point, we've got to say something. We've got to declare who we are and why we live like we do. And for us to be effective, we have to be full of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that empowers us. He's the one that brings boldness to our lives. He's the one that lives in us and bears fruit in our lives and our hearts. He's the one. So we're going to just pray. If the musicians could come, we're just going to give the Holy Spirit opportunity just to minister to us now. And I don't know where you are in your walk with God, what your understanding is. But we're just going to say to the Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and fill me again. Come and minister to me that I might be a witness for you. This world needs Jesus like it's never needed it before. And that's down to us to be his witnesses. So let's just stand and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us.